Joining us now for a closer look at the Supreme Court nominee's judicial record is Sherrilyn Ifill, a civil rights lawyer and law professor at the University of Maryland School of Law. She joins us from WYPR in Baltimore. Also with us, Roger Clegg, president and general counsel of the Center for Equal Opportunity in Sterling, Virginia. He's a former deputy assistant attorney general in the Reagan and Bush administrations and has held the second highest position in the Civil Rights Division. I welcome you both. Professor, let me start with you and ask you the question that many are raising right now, and it will start by virtue of opening statements today at his confirmation hearings. Many of the people who worked with this man, clerks and others, have called him a careful judge, that he follows the law. One might take that, and these are even staunch Democrats, some of whom worked for him, one might take that as a way of suggesting that he will not let his personal opinions influence his ability to judge on the high court. Historically, have we seen that?
Well, I think this is the key question of these hearings. Judge Alito really has, in many ways, an unbroken record, particularly where civil rights are concerned. And so it's up to him to demonstrate to the committee that despite his careful, small, deliberate steps, those steps don't always lead to the same result. I mean, we've got a man who, when he was a member of the Reagan administration, advanced positions that resisted an expansive reading of Title VII, were anti-affirmative action. He expressed his concern about decisions of the Warren Court as it relates to reapportionment and so forth. And then we have a 15-year record on the bench in which Judge Alito sided against victims of discrimination on the merits of discrimination claims in 85% of the civil rights cases he ruled on. So he's got to really demonstrate, it seems to me, for the committee this week, that those careful, deliberate steps don't always lead to the same result. And that, as Ted Shaw said in your opening, his vote is in play. That is, that he has an open mind going on the bench and not an agenda.
Mr. Clegg, should not the idea of having an open vote, one that isn't predisposed to one's proclivity of belief, shouldn't that be what the confirmation hearings should be about and what the American people should expect from someone taking this bench?
I agree with that, and I don't think there's any question but that Judge Alito has demonstrated throughout his career that he has that kind of an open mind, that he's somebody who believes that the role of a judge is to follow the law, not to put something into the Constitution that isn't in there, and not to take anything out of the Constitution that is in there. And I think that time after time he has shown that. I think that in the civil rights area in particular, sometimes he rules in favor of a civil rights claim. Sometimes he rules against it. It depends on the facts of the case and what the law says. You heard earlier statements of Reverend Owens talking about how supportive he's been in some cases. I think that Professor Ifill is correct that in other instances he's ruled against civil rights claims, but it depends on the facts and it depends on what the law says. And Judge Alito will do the right thing. He's a terrific nominee.
Yet, Professor, it seems to me we have in all of these cases, and perhaps others will say, particularly in this one, been too Pollyanna with the idea that people are going to be able to brush aside what they truly believe. We saw in an interview released after his death, William Rehnquist suggests that there's no way that you can do that. And in fact, your personal opinions do come into play in the decisions that you make. And if that is the case, and we're going to hear from Mark Morial in just a few moments, and he's been very vocal in his stance against this nominee, should not we see people who believe that he would bring these beliefs to the court fight even harder than we've seen so far?
Well, Ed, this is the thing the American people really need to be educated about. What is the job of a judge? It's not an easy job. It's not the same as being the mayor. It's not the same as being the president. It's not the same as being a congressperson. It requires you to, of course, have personal views, but to be able to set those personal views to the side in furtherance of what the law requires, in furtherance of the facts before you. Now, of course, your background, your personal experience is relevant to how you hear a case. It's the lens through which you regard the case that's before you. And actually, I think this is an important question for Judge Alito, particularly where civil rights are concerned. We need to see from Judge Alito what in his record demonstrates that he actually knows in the post-civil rights realm, for example, what discrimination looks like. When he's got got a record that shows that in every majority opinion that he authored in employment discrimination cases, he always rules against the African-American plaintiff. Now, I'm not talking about prayer in the schools. I'm talking about civil rights cases involving race discrimination. When we've got that, coupled with his record in the Reagan administration and his participation in the organization Concerned Alumni of Princeton, it's up to Judge Alito to demonstrate to the American people and to point to something in his record that demonstrates that he understands what the principles of civil rights are, that he understands what racial justice means. We have to be careful not to mix apples and oranges. I understand at the top of the hour we had the minister on board talking about prayer in the schools and so forth, but I like to think, Ed, that your listeners are more sophisticated than that. We're not just talking about one issue. We're talking about a full range of issues. And with regard to civil rights in particular, Judge Alito has some explaining to do. He has some answers that he's got to give the committee to overcome what is essentially an unbroken record that is hostile to civil rights. I don't know if he's going to be able to do it.
Roger Clegg, pick up on that point and the idea, as Ms. Eiffel points out, when you talk about a record that has been consistent against one side, you have to believe at some point, if nothing else statistically, you would see it the other way.
Listen, I do not believe that there is any fair way to characterize Judge Alito's record as being anti-civil rights. I don't think that there's any sitting federal judge today that could be characterized as being anti-civil rights. We have a broad national consensus and a whole variety of federal statutes that make it clear that discrimination on the basis of race and ethnicity is wrong and illegal. I think that every judge recognized that. When Professor Eiffel talks about, you know, whether you're pro or against civil rights, what it boils down to is two things. First of all, whether a judge believes that civil rights laws protect everybody or whether some people get preferences under the civil rights laws. And it is true that Judge Alito, when he was in the executive branch, opposed the use of racial preferences. I think the vast majority of Americans, of all colors, opposed the use of racial preferences. The other issue is whether the civil rights laws should be written in a way that and interpreted in a way that ensure not only that valid civil rights claims are ruled on favorably, but also that makes sure that invalid, non-meritorious, frivolous civil rights claims are dismissed. And I think that a good judge tries to do both. And I think Alito has done that. That means that you have to dismiss some civil rights claims that are brought, the ones that are non-meritorious.
Let me do this.
Let me decode.
Professor, I'm sorry. I've got to stop you there only because we're up against the clock. But we should know that it all starts in earnest today as the confirmation hearings begin with the Senate Judiciary Committee. Sherilyn Eiffel is a civil rights lawyer and law professor at the University of Maryland School of Law. She joined us from WYPR in Baltimore. And Roger Clegg is president and general counsel of the Center for Equal Opportunity in Sterling, Virginia. I thank you both. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed.
Coming up on today's roundtable, should the Martin Luther King Day parade in the nation's capital be rescheduled due to cold weather? That's just one of the issues that we'll talk about, and we'll hear more on the Alito nomination in just a moment.